Amen. All the way from South Lorraine, God brought us a man of God by to help us out a little bit. I know Pastor knows this man's heart, loves his heart, loves his ministry, loves everything about his church, and he wouldn't leave us without something good to feed on while he's gone. So Church of the North Coast, help welcome to the platform Pastor Reyes, if you'd come to minister the word of God tonight. Bring us a word in season for us.
Come on and give a greater one to the Lord tonight. Come on. If it's for Jesus, it's got to be louder than that. Give it to the Lord tonight. All honor and praise and glory belong to him tonight. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. And I still hold on to some elements of old school. So while you're standing, well, I thought you were standing there. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. It is good to be here tonight. I've been here before. I just haven't come to preach. And I just joined you for camp meeting, revivals, and getting together for some other event. And I've seen a few folks here tonight that I know. We have some common history. This young lady over there, her name is Betsy. And she's singing on the worship team. We go back. Oh, are you Celeste now? Okay. She changed her name. I knew her as Betsy. But there's an usher on here also that I saw that we know each other for some time. And good to be here. Good to see a few familiar faces. But, you know, the good thing about being in the family of God is that we have a common blood, and it doesn't matter where you go. If you're blood washed and sold out the whole route, you know, there's a commonality that you share within amongst each other, so that when you get together and you may not seen anybody or seen that person for or never met them, the anointing and the Spirit of God gives a witness. Amen. I don't want to delay too much tonight. I want to go straight to the Word of God. Are you ready to receive the Word tonight? Did you come ready and with a willing heart to receive the Word of the Lord tonight? Amen. I believe that you will not be disappointed, not because I'm preaching, but because the Word of God will not return back void. So I believe that if you came here with an open heart to receive the word of the Lord, you're going to come out of here fed. You're going to come out of here transformed. You're going to come out of here with a sense, maybe a zip in your step. Amen. Now, you got to pray for me tonight because I'm used to preaching in Spanish. I can speak English, but I've been pastoring for 10 years at Temple Emmanuel Assembly of God on the southeast side of Lorraine. And I think I've only preached like four times throughout the 10 years that I've been pastoring there in English. And we usually translate. We have somebody interpreting in to the English language. Yeah, we have a bilingual congregation. So you got to pray for me tonight because I'm kind of out of my element tonight. But I'm believing that we have a greater force, the invisible presence of the Lord and his anointing that pushes where we're weak, he's strong. Amen. So go with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to read the first seven verses. That scripture says, "Now the company of the prophets said to Elisha, 'Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to live.' And he said, 'Go.' Then one of them said, 'Won't you please come with your servants?' Elisha replied, 'I will.' And he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. 'Oh, my Lord,' he cried, 'it was borrowed.' The man of God asked, 'Where did it fall?' When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. 'Lift it out,' he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it." And because the next paragraph switches to another account, another story, we can assume that the man went back to work and they were successful at building the prophet school. Amen. Come on and pray with me. Let's ask for a special anointing here tonight. An anointing to speak, an anointing to receive. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare tonight a night of victory. We declare this a night of breakthrough. We're declaring this a night of miracles, Father God. We believe that you are able to do exceedingly beyond whatever we ask. Whatever beyond what we can understand and comprehend, we know that where we come up short, the Holy Spirit moves on and is able to do exceedingly beyond what we can ask or imagine or understand. And Father, tonight I hide, Lord God, so that you may be lifted up. I want to decrease so that you may increase. I just want to be your servant here tonight, and I ask, Father God, that your word would be prospered and settled in every heart tonight, and we declare that it's going to go forth with power, and we declare that any enemy, any sort of sabotage, anything that the enemy would place to impede for this word to come forth with power, we declare that it is nullified, neutralized, in the mighty name of Jesus, and we declare that we will give a careful listen and hear your word, and we commit to act on your word and be transformed in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you agree with this prayer, would you say amen tonight? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I believe that we, the church, are living in the most exciting times in the history of mankind and in the history of the church. How many of you agree with me tonight? Now I realize that not everything that's happening in our world is good and not even reasonable. I know that if we watch the news, we're seeing how crime is reaching new heights. Many of us have been touched and have questioned what's happened over there at Virginia Tech with that massacre that happened last week. And we see that today divorce is rocketing. We see that deceit is common, and it happens on a personal level. It happens on a corporate level. The media is bombarding our society with all kinds of postmodernistic and atheistic notions. And there's the sexual perversion is escalating. And when it seems like we're advancing on the issue of racism, some wicked incident happens that makes it seem like we've taken one step forward and two steps back. And it makes us question what's going on. But nevertheless, I believe that God in this hour is moving in the power of his Holy Spirit. And I believe that more than ever, there is a manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And God is beginning to restore the gifts and the apostolic calling and impartation for such a time as this. Never in the history of mankind has there been more professing Christians, nor a greater opportunity to share the gospel with the help of technology, gifting, and knowledge that there exists at present time. And while this is a fact, the following is also true. Never has there been more apathy in the kingdom of God for kingdom work and ministry work. We have many opportunities and great training resources. There are so many Christian possibilities and opportunities today. We have Christian radio. We have Christian seminars. We have Christian television. We have Christian books. We have Christian comic strips, Christian bookstores. There is so much at our reach. Nevertheless, I find that there is an apathy in a percentage or a portion of the body of Christ. And because of this, there is a remnant and a small nucleus that is carrying the load of Christian ministry work and service. And I want to challenge you here today. If it's all right with you, I came here. I didn't come here to dilly-dally. When I preach at my church, I like to speak the truth in love. Amen? I just like to speak from my heart. So I'm speaking to you as a pastor here tonight. I may not be your pastor, but I'm speaking to you with a pastoral heart. And I believe it's time that everybody get involved. Tell somebody it's time to get involved. Amen? I believe that in spite of the fact that there is a whole lot of evil, there is a lot of stuff that's going on today, God has a solution for our situation. God has a plan for our crisis. God has a mission and he has a divine plan to offset that which is happening, what the enemy has created in our reality. So it's time that the Church of Jesus Christ move from the sideline and get involved and roll up our sleeves and begin to work for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's time to get out of the supper room and go into the upper room and then begin to step out and begin to operate in our gifting so that this world will know how mighty our God is. I believe that God has yet to show his best. I believe that the best days are yet to come. Hallelujah. I believe that the best wine is still left to be tasted. Amen. I believe that greater days lie ahead. But we, the Church of Jesus Christ, every person needs to fall in line into what God wants to do and how he wants to use us. So I want us to look at this scripture passage tonight. And I want us to glean from this scripture. I believe God has some truths that he wants to impart. And he wants some truths that he wants us to adopt tonight. And I want to challenge you with this word and speak it in love. And I believe that today, if you were involved in ministry, if you were involved in kingdom business, and maybe you have abandoned your place in the body of Christ, or maybe you've never got involved for one reason or another, maybe you attended our church. We have people that attend. They're not members. They're not involved. And I want to challenge you today to get involved. Or if you've abandoned your gift, or for some reason or another, you are not operating in your ministry calling, I want to challenge you to be restored tonight. And that's the title of my message tonight, Restored to the Mission. Amen. So this scripture passage here, it talks about the prophet Elisha. And it lays out a setting there where he is with a company of prophets, a school of prophets. And some theologians say that this scripture passage ties into a prophet school that was in Gilgal. And there was a number of understudies and students that were taking up the prophetic ministry and the prophetic office. And it's an account that relates to the prophet Elisha and these prophets. And, of course, we know that a prophet is someone who is the mouthpiece of God, someone that speaks the word of the Lord. And so this particular a biblical account talks about Elisha and the company of prophets. And then it talks about a need that presents itself. The prophets began to tell Elisha, they say, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us." And so they help us to know that there was a situation because their living quarters, their facilities were becoming too small for the amount of residents that they had. And they became a little uncomfortable. They had outgrown their building. And so because there was a need, they developed a mission. And what was that mission? Verse 2 says, the prophets spoke to Elisha and they said, "Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell." So the student prophets requested to build a building so that they could be comfortable, and their leader approved. He said, "Go." And so there was the need. There was the mission that developed as a consequence of the need. And then there was a request for company. These young men felt that their job would be successful and they would be able to accomplish that which they set out to do if they went in the company of their leader.
And so verse 5 or verse 3 says, please consent to go with your servants. And of course, Elisha in verse 4 says, I will go. And here's what happens. When they go out by the River Jordan and they begin to cut down trees and they begin to gather wood so that they can build this new building and this new facility. Amen. One of the workers, as he is working on a tree and hacking at it with his axe, all of a sudden the iron head, the head of the axe came off of that axe, off the handle, and he became very saddened by it. And of course we know that because that axe had came off, it actually fell. The scripture says that it fell in the water. So we can assume that by virtue of what this scripture says, that it fell into the River of Jordan. Amen. How many of you with me right now? Amen. And so it seems like there was a setback. There was a problem. There was a dilemma. Something that kept this man from progress. And that happens to us on a daily basis. All of us at one point or another encounter setbacks. All of us at one point or another encounter moments of delay. We set out to do a particular project and we can't carry it out because maybe we're lacking some sort of tool or some sort of instrument that will help us. Every time I try to do something mechanical, I always discover that I'm lacking tools. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Well, these young men were not dummies. Amen? And they said, well, we have the prophet with us. And so there was a need. There was a mission that was established. There was a request for company. And though there was a setback and an obstacle, there was restored success in the work. Because here's what happened. Verse 5 says that this man cried out to his master. And he says, Master, the axe that I have was borrowed. Amen. And as a consequence, what he was saying is, I need your help. I need a solution. And so what is it that Elisha the prophet does? He takes a stick, he cuts a stick, and he casts it. He throws it into the River Jordan. And as a consequence, a supernatural occurrence happens. A miracle happens. And that axe head, which probably was already at the bottom of the riverbed, floats up. And that young man is able to grab that axe head and attach it to his handle and begin to carry on the work that he had started. Now, I don't know if you know this. You probably do. What happened there was a violation of the laws of nature. Amen. What is it? The law of, was it Newton that said, whatever goes up must go down. And the weight of something is always going to, you know, it's got to go down. And so this was actually a miracle. And if you read this scripture passage, it doesn't seem like these first seven verses of chapter 6 of 2 Kings have no relationship to what happens afterwards in the following chapters or in the previous chapters. It seems to me like God is kind of exhibiting his power through the prophet Elisha. Because it doesn't seem like there's any other purpose, any other motive, any other objective regarding this account. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God is willing to flex his muscle. Come on, I believe that God is willing today to do whatever is necessary to restore you back to the mission. Amen. If we would apply this account today, I would say that firstly, as it starts out talking about the school of prophets, I believe that today's time, that the church of Jesus Christ is the school of prophets. Amen. The scripture tells us that God has established ministry gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 talks about that Jesus, when he ascended, he brought up with him ministry gifts. And the Bible says that he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfection, for the building up of the saints. Amen. And so I believe that God is beginning to restore the ministry of prophecy, the ministry of the prophet today. And we as a church need to embrace it. As a matter of fact, One of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, talks about the gift of prophecy. So not only is there a ministry office of prophet, but there's also the ministry gifting of prophecy. And Joel chapter 2, how many of you have read that passage? Verse 28 says, after these things, I will pour out my spirit, and your sons and daughters shall what? Say with me, my son and my daughter is going to prophesy. How many of you know we are those sons and daughters? Because Joel, that time was way back, and God wants to restore the prophetic gift for today. And if we would just allow the Holy Spirit to pour himself in us and begin to abound in us like never before, that prophetic anointing is going to flow through us. Did you know that when the anointing came upon Saul, the king, he began to what? Prophesy. And so we are called as a church to embrace the prophetic ministry. We need to lift up this ministry, because without it, our ministry is incomplete. And if we can say, if you don't agree that the prophetic ministry is for today, if you don't think that the ministry gifts of prophecy are for today, you have to agree that the scripture says that Jesus called all believers to declare his wondrous works. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to obey and observe all the things that I have taught you. So that means that we are called to transmit the word of the Lord. We have been called to be bearers of the word of the Lord. And in the general sense, we're all prophets. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you're a prophet, because you're God's mouthpiece. God has given you a message. God has given you a word for this world. God has given you a message to share with your neighbor, a message to share with your coworker, a message to share with your family. You are the prophet of the Lord. But as we read this and we see that there's a school of prophets, we also see that there is a need. There was a need that presented itself in this time with the prophets, that there was not enough room. Amen. But I believe that today there is a need also. And that need will constitute our mission. Amen. That need today, I know that there are pressing needs today. We have the problem of drugs. We have the problem of divorce. We have the problem of violence. We have the problem of crime and rape. We have a problem of abortion, of hatred, of racism, of theft. And there are so many ills in this society. But I'm here to tell you that that's not the greatest problem that our society has. The greatest problem that this society has is sin. Hey, man, I wonder if you can get me a little bit more monitor here. I'm a shouter, so if you lower me out there, amen. But, politicians, and God bless them, amen, they're out campaigning, talking about how we need to do this and need to do that so that our society can improve and we can get better and we can have a more comfortable and a better society. But I think they fail to understand that there's a problem that's deeper than racism, a problem that's deeper than discrimination, a problem that's deeper than crime, a problem that's deeper than all the ills that we see in society. And that problem is sin. And somebody's got to get up and speak the word of the Lord so that these dry bones can come to life. Because sin will bring death. And when sin enters someone's life, it will cause all kinds of wickedness. But the problem is not the adultery. The problem is not the vice. The problem is not the theft. That's just a symptom of the problem. The true problem is sin. And so today, we, the School of Prophets, the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to acknowledge the need that exists in our society, because this world is on a highway to hell. It's because of sin. It's not because of anything else. And they are not walking in God's foreordained purpose. And they are not, this world is not enjoying the abundance that God has provided for us. How many know about that abundance? And so that need constitutes a mission. What is our mission? Our mission is to be in the business of proclaiming the word of the Lord and making disciples. Every person needs to be involved. Every person needs to do their part. Every person needs to find their place in the body of Christ and begin to say, you can count on me to do this. You can count on me to do that. I may not be able to sing like the worship team, but you can count on me being an usher. I may not be able to preach like Pastor Louis Cayton, but I'm able to take care of ushering. I may not be able to do this like this person. But, you know, it's time that we stop comparing our gifting. It's time to operate and begin to walk out in our calling. Amen? Okay, so maybe you can't preach like Pastor Cayton, but Pastor Cayton can't take care of kids like you can. Come on. So you shouldn't try to be like Pastor Cayton, and Pastor Cayton or Pastor Reyes is not going to try to be you, because I can only be me, and he can only be himself, and you can only be you. How many of you are with me still tonight? And so this need constitutes a mission. The student prophets decided that they had to do something. Listen, the weight of the world should be upon, hallelujah, the heart of every believer. I don't know when was the last time that when you were on your knees praying to the Lord that you began to weep on behalf of this city of Lorraine. I don't know when it was the last time that you were on your face on the floor, hallelujah, weeping out to God and saying, God, I sense like this community needs you desperately, and begins to pray. I believe it was a missionary that went to China and he says, Lord, give me China or I will die. Hallelujah. So we need to feel a burden for the need that exists nowadays. And we need to adopt a mission. And that mission is God's mission. His mission is my commission. We are in the Great Commission because God's mission has been commissioned to us. We are companions of the mission. And so we have to adopt the mentality, the mission of God. And that is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord does not want anyone to what? To perish, but that everyone come to repentance. And for this, he sent Jesus. The mission is carried out through the prophets. You and I have a mission. We are on a mission. Hallelujah. And we need to feel burden, pain for the lost. We need to feel a burden for a hurting world. One that will take us out of our comfort zone. One that will take us out of our pews and take us out to the streets. One that will adopt the mentality or a ministry philosophy that if I walk out into the corner of 21st Street, that's my pulpit. Or if I'm helping somebody as a nurse out there at the hospital, that's my pulpit. I'm working toward discipleship. Whatever it is that I'm doing, I'm working. I am contributing to the cause of the mission. I am planting a seed. I am doing something for the cause of the Lord. Because it doesn't matter how great or how little it may seem in your eyes. God is working through you. He is operating miracles through you. So all you got to do is go. You got to go and tell somebody. Tell somebody, get moving. Hallelujah. Get involved. Do something for the Lord. I've heard this wonderful saying, and I repeat it to our church. If you're not a missionary, you are a mission field. I didn't get too many amens when I said that at our church either. Because we've been all called to the mission. We should all be mission workers. But if we're not a mission worker, then we need to be one for the Lord, because we haven't understood God's plan for our lives. So we have been called to go and make disciples. The Bible says that Jesus says, go, tell somebody, go, hallelujah. It's time that the church come, go out. The homosexual is coming out of the closet. The lesbians are coming out of the closet. Those that are into animalistic behavior, they're coming out of the closet. They're going public. So it's time that the church go public. Yes. Y'all listening to me tonight? This is a call to go public with the mission of God and take our goods, take the goods of the gospel of Jesus Christ and take them where they're needed so desperately. Hallelujah. So there is a need, there is a mission, and then there is a need for divine company. The prophet said, Elisha, would you accompany us? Would you accompany us? And I tell you what, as we go and fulfill the Great Commission. As we go and do the work of the Lord, we need to secure proper company with us. And there is no better company than the company of God Himself. Elisha the prophet represents here the divine presence of the Lord. And so as these prophets requested that their leader, that their master go out with them, as they go and journey and begin to carry out this mission, we should also do the same thing. It reminds me of Moses when he found himself in that critical situation, and he saw that the people had turned away from God. He went up to receive the law, the Ten Commandments, and when he comes down, there's this big party, and they're celebrating other gods, and they set up an idol, and they're dancing and worshiping it, and after God takes care of business and stamps that out, he has a conversation with God, and at first, God says, I'm going to wipe this people out, and I'm going to start afresh, and Moses has to intervene, but then God says, okay, if I don't do this, then you got to go. And Moses, you know what Moses said? Moses had the audacity to speak to God like this. And he says, look, God, if your presence doesn't go with me, don't take us out. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you what, the church needs to get to that point nowadays. Because we can go on our own strength, come on. We can go in our own ingenuity. We can go with our own ways and our own strategies, but if we don't have the divine presence at our side continually, if we are not walking in the anointing, if we're not speaking in the anointing, if we're not operating in that unction that comes from on high, our business is only going to, it's going to be ineffective. Jesus told his disciples, don't go anywhere. Don't move from Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem until you are invested and endued with power from on high. We need the presence of the Lord. We need to walk in good company. And God tells him in verse 14, he says, my presence will go with you, and you shall have what? You shall have rest. Hallelujah. And so we need his divine company. Why do we need divine company as we go out? Because we need his guidance. We need him to go with us because we need his protection. We need him with us because we need his power to flow through us, so that every word we utter, it would be saturated with the power of the Holy Ghost. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I've gone to speak to folks, and I didn't know what to say to them. Hallelujah. But all of a sudden, I began to pray in tongues, and I began to say, God, I don't know what to say to this person. I'm just going to step out in faith and say what you tell me to say. And their hearts have been turned around. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is with us. Hallelujah, and we depend on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I've got news for you. When you walk with the presence, I'm telling you, we know what planned evangelism is. We've spoken about what power evangelism, but we need presence evangelism today. We need to be able to take and convey and impart from that presence, that anointing that is in us, so that we can touch other people's lives, because they got so much devil in them that only God can deliver them. I'm going to get somebody here to say amen. And I got to get me an amen corner. If I could just get one person to shout and say, preach, preacher. Hallelujah. We're going to do this in the name of Jesus. But I want you to know, if you're going to be effective in the mission of God, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need a fire baptism. Jesus told his disciples, if you don't stay in Jerusalem, I know that I know that I know that when you come back, you're going to be like a dog with his tail behind his hind legs. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be frustrated. And you need a special endowment from on high. So don't go anywhere if you're going to prioritize anything. Stay in Jerusalem because you're going to receive something special. Maybe you don't understand it. And the Bible says that on that day of Pentecost, Peter, it seemed like he didn't understand all of it. But he says, no, we're not drunks. He says, this is that. Seemed like he didn't have a word to be able to describe what he was having, the experience he was having. But I'm here to tell you, we need the unction of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that when the Comforter comes, he will be with you and he will be in you. You need to acknowledge the presence of the Lord in you when you go out and fulfill the mission. If you're an usher, you need to do that with the presence of God. If you're taking care of elderly saints, you need to do that with the anointing. If you're handling the cameras or sound, you need to do that in the anointing. If you're preaching, if you're teaching, if you're doing whatever it is, do it in the anointing. Hallelujah. Preacher said, If the message isn't on fire, put the message in the fire. Hallelujah. God wants to awaken the church. He wants to spirit baptize the church. It's not enough to do it on the day of Pentecost. They were there in chapter 2 of the book of Acts. But in chapter 4, the same folks that were there, they were there pleading to God to tell him, give me boldness. Give me strength to preach under persecution. And the Bible says that the place began to shake. The place began to tremble. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in other tongues. And God manifested himself in that place. This is the time. I want you to know that the old elderly saints of the old Hispanic Pentecostal hallelujah tradition, they did not have a whole lot of technology. I'm a pastor's kid. Amen. I'm a preacher's kid. I know what it is to grow up in a pastor's house. Amen. My dad didn't have a whole lot of technology. He didn't have a whole lot of money. He didn't have a whole lot of networks with other pastors and other ministry. But he was full of the Holy Ghost. My mom was a saint of the Lord. She didn't have a whole lot of know-how. But she knew how to pray in the Spirit. She knew how vital it was to be full of the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, hallelujah, if she lost her glasses, she didn't know where they were at. She would pray to the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, tell me where they're at. I remember doing prayer chains around our car when we didn't know how to fix it, when we didn't have money to be able to repair our car, but we got together and began to pray and said, Holy Ghost, show me what wire to move. Holy Ghost, show me where to do this and that. And that car, I remember times when we were traveling to go minister at another church miles away where we were running out of gas, didn't have any money, didn't have credit cards, and if we did, they probably wouldn't have any kind of credit on them. And we were traveling in dead winter sometimes, and I remember one time that we were like 25 miles away from where we were going, and my dad is saying, y'all need to pray. You need to pray because we don't have enough gas. I don't have enough money. And we all began to pray. And I don't know if it was that God just kept on combusting that engine or the Holy Ghost fire kept it going. But we got there. Hallelujah. We need the power. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except it be by the Holy Ghost. We got to get to the point of impotence.
Come on. Preach. Amen. Come on.
Because we think that we are so qualified. We think that we are so good at what we do.
Say that.
That we just leave the Holy Ghost behind.
Come on.
We don't think that we have to prepare with the anointing. We don't think that we know so much about computers nowadays. We have so much internet and computer savvy. We have so much technological know-how. We have understanding. We've gone to college. And I'm not against that. I'm for that. Amen. But we've come to a point that we think we know so much that we get to a point where we don't feel that we have to depend on the Holy Ghost. But these student prophets knew how important divine presence or a greater authority was for their success. And if you're going to be successful at what you do, if you're going to have success in your business, success in your ministry, success in the process of discipleship, if you're going to be a blessing to this church and a blessing to the kingdom of God, you need to walk in the anointing. You need to say, God, when I walk out this door, I need to sense that your presence is with me. When I get together before the start of our service, we pray with our worship team and we say, Lord, let us not utter a single word. Let us not sing a single song. Let us not strike a single beat except it be by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? Hallelujah. That credit card says don't leave home without it. But I'm telling you here tonight, don't leave home without the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This world doesn't need another crazy religion. What it needs is a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
One of my favorite Baptist preachers is Vance Havner. He went to be with the Lord after 90-something years of life. And he says this gospel has been declared. This gospel has been denied. This gospel has been defended. But what it needs most is to be demonstrated. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? We need a demonstration of God's power. And when we go out with an understanding, with a sense of expectation that when I open my mouth and begin to share the gospel with other people, every word is going to be anointed and saturated to cause an impact in their life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Take him with you whenever you go out. So they had a need and a developed mission. They had a request for divine company, and then they had a setback. I know my time is running out, but I'm going to try and get you this message in 5 minutes. They had a setback. All of us experience some sort of setback in life, right? As one of the men were chopping down a tree to get their wood so that they could build their facility, the axe head came off and fell in the water. You know, the axe represents your gift. Can you bring that up here, brother? Can you hold that up? The axe that he was using to cut down the trees represents your spiritual gifts, represents your talents, your natural talents. As he was whacking away at that tree, he was doing the work that he had set out to do. Amen. He was carrying out the mission, carrying out the mission, carrying out the mission. But all of a sudden, when he pulled it back, the axe head, the iron, came off, and it fell into the water, it fell into the river. I want to tell you tonight that there are some believers that have dropped their axe head. They've been whacking away. They were whacking away some time ago. They were wailing into the tree, their mission. They were carrying out their duties. They were working in nursery ministry. They were preaching. They were teaching. They were ushering. They were operating in the prophetic or in the healing ministries or whatever it was. And something happened that their axe head fell off. And as a consequence, that axe head is at the bottom of the river. Amen. And I want you to know tonight that God has apportioned every believer gifts. Amen. We have no excuse to say, I can't do it. The scripture says in Romans chapter 12, it talks about the gifts of the Father. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the gifts of the Son. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks and it elaborates about the gifts of the Spirit. And everyone has been apportioned a gift. Matthew chapter 25 talks about the parable of the talents. And it says that one was given five, one was given two, one was given one. That means that every one of us have at least one talent. Tell somebody you have at least one gift to use for the kingdom of God. And you got to use it, because if not, the whole thing will be delayed and there will be setbacks in the kingdom of God. If you don't do what you've been called to do, this church will not advance in the rate that God has called it to advance. So this man was whacking away and it fell off. I want to ask you tonight, has your axe head fallen off? Have you stopped using your gift? Have you dropped the axe? You know, people lose their axe head for different reasons. Some get discouraged in ministry. Some folks, they abuse their gift. Some people don't use their gift. Some people get frustrated. Some people feel like they're incompetent in doing the ministry gift, the ministry office that God has given them. Some folks get into a spiritual battle and they said, I don't want to do this anymore, because it seems like every time I pick up my axe, every time that I begin to work something, do something for the Lord, it seems like hell breaks loose and I don't want to go through that anymore. And maybe you've said, I'm tired of using this axe. I'm going to put it aside. Maybe you've shelled your axe. Maybe you've dropped it. You have put it to the curb. And maybe you said, I'm not going to use it. Maybe somebody hurt you. Maybe somebody offended you. Maybe you didn't like what the pastor said to correct you, to help you in your ministry gift, and you thought that it was one way, and God gave wisdom to the pastor so that you could use it another way, and you said, it's either my way or it's not going to be done.
2 minutes to try and get this all in. But you know, maybe you dropped your axe. You know what? That axe head fell at the depth of the River Jordan. You know what? Do you know where the River Jordan flows into? The River Jordan flows into the Dead Sea. And I believe that if you don't recover your axe head, if you don't go back to the place that God has called you to be, if you don't begin to operate in the gifting that God has given you and ordained before the foundations of the earth, that axe head is going to be taken away into death. The devil wants to do that. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your gift. He wants to destroy your ministry. He wants to oppose the work of the Lord. That's called spiritual warfare. When we set out to do the mission of God and the enemy opposes, the enemy begins to rise up against us, that's called spiritual warfare. But I tell you, there is one that is greater that is with us than he that is in the world. So you got to go back. That's the counsel that the prophet gave him. He gave him a number of commands. He said, when the man tells him, I lost my axe head, what does the prophet say? What does he say? Where did you lose it? And after he asks him, where did you lose it? He says, go back. And then he goes there. And I want you to listen to me carefully tonight, because that's what the Lord is asking you tonight. If you have put your axe to the side, he's asking you tonight, where did you lose it? It's a call to self-confrontation. It's a call to self-examination. It's a call to begin to ask ourselves some hard questions, to do like David did when he said, search and know me. Examine it in my heart to see if there's anything sinful, anything that doesn't please you. We need to do like Nehemiah did when he got up in the midnight hour, when nobody knew except the handful of people that went out with him. When the walls were down and the city gates were burnt, he went out in the midnight hour and he went out and he did a survey and assessed the damage that had been done. We need to do the same thing, amen. We need to ask ourselves the hard questions. We need to do like the psalmist David says, oh Saul, why are you cast down? So when we drop our axe, we need to ask ourselves the same thing. Why is it that I dropped my axe? Why is it that I abandoned my ministry? What happened? What were the circumstances? What was the situation? What was going on in my mind? What was going on in my heart? What was it that I wasn't attending to? Why didn't I obey? God is challenging us tonight to ask ourselves the hard questions. God is asking us to do another thing. After we go back to the place where we examine ourselves to see where our axe head has fallen, we need to do what the prophet says. The prophet took a stick and put it in the water, and supernaturally that axe head floated to the surface. And I believe that God is here tonight to cause axe heads to float to the surface. I believe that God is here to restore people to the mission. I believe that God is here tonight to take you out from deep down where nobody knows you, where you are hidden, where you're in the backdrop. I believe that God is here tonight to take you out of darkness and bring you out to light. He's going to take you public. He's going to tell, tonight is a night of success, a night where God is going to take you out and begin to restore your ministry gift. And as the prophet went and put that stick, I believe that God is here tonight, and that rod represents authority. And God supernaturally tonight is taking his rod and he's touching the river, and I believe with the buoyancy of the Holy Ghost, he's going to lift up that axe head and he's going to bring it out so that you can rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit and begin to do what God has called you to do, because this world needs for you to step out. This world needs for you to come out. This world needs for you to go public. This world needs for you to step out. Elisha said, okay, the axe head's out, and he said, pick it up. So you need to pick it up tonight. Go in faith. Go in expectation and believe that when you go back to the place that you had abandoned, the place, the ministry calling that you have put to the side, and believe that you're going to be prosperous. Believe that you're going to do what God has called you to do. It's an act of action, an act of obedience. God is telling us tonight, pick it up. Tell somebody tonight, pick it up. I think that there are greater days that lie ahead for the city of Lorraine. I've declared that Lorraine, in the city of Lorraine, the Lord reigns. Amen. But God is counting on every one of us to go and get our acts, to go back and get to work. Get out and begin to heave into our ministry. Get up and begin to say, I don't care if my family is going through problems. I don't care if my church is not exactly the way I think it should be. I don't care if I don't have enough money. I don't care if I'm not talented. God told me to pick it up, and I'm going to begin to rail into it. I'm going to begin to grind my axe. I'm going to begin to do what God has called me to do, and I'm going to do it in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, because I believe that in my weakness, God is strong. Just like that facility was built, I believe that God's house, God's purpose, your destiny will be fulfilled as you get back to use your axe. Hallelujah. I want to make a quick call tonight. For those of you that want to grab your axe tonight, somebody that would take the exhort. Come believing tonight that God is going to put you in the place that you need to be. God is going to do it in your life. I want you to stand up right now. I want you to stand up right now if you want God to restore you. If you want God to restore, God is a God of restoration. You know, in the natural sense, restoration is putting stuff back in the original state. But in the Bible, restoration is not just putting you in your original state. It is taking you to your original state and then giving you multiplication. If you stole the lamb, you had to replace it with three or four. If you stole an oxen or a bullock, you had to replace it with four. If you stole from somebody, it had to be replaced with seven times. Restoration and restitution. And I believe that God is here to do that tonight. Amen. If you're not a believer here tonight, if you've not given your heart to Jesus, I want to start with you. God wants to use you. You're a person of destiny. God has prepared a place in eternity for you, but He wants you to make a decision now. You weren't created for hell. You weren't created for all the chaos that you are experiencing today. You are created to walk in abundance. You have been created to walk in destiny. You have been created to walk in victory. But you can't walk in that victory unless you're walking in Jesus Christ. So I want to challenge you. I want to invite you tonight to receive Jesus as your Savior. And if there's anyone here tonight that would say, I've heard this message. I may not have understood everything about it, but I relate. I sense like something is tugging at my heart and telling me I need to make that decision. I want to pray with you tonight. Would you raise your hand tonight if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Come on and raise your hand right now. Praise the Lord. There's a young lady back there. There's a young man back there that wants to come on and give them a big round of applause. Praise the Lord. I don't know if we could pray for these folks and have them come up, and or altar workers. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Spirit is here tonight. And He's restoring lives. Hallelujah. Now I want to pray with those of you that have stood up because you want God to restore that ministry. You want God to take you to the fullness of that ministry. You want God to do a work in your life like you've never experienced in your life. And you want to go back to the place that God called you. Maybe you abandoned it, or maybe you're not walking in it in fullness. I want to pray for you tonight. If you stood up, and that's why you stood up, I want to pray with you. Come on and repeat this prayer with me tonight. Father, I am here to acknowledge that I need you. I want to be restored. There is a great need, and we have a great mission. I want to go back and do that which you've called me to do.
I want to get my axe and I want to use it to prosper your kingdom, to advance the kingdom, and so that this church can have a greater outreach in this community. I want to use this gift under the leadership of my pastor. Show me how to use it. Anoint me to use it and help me to prosper in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Give the Lord a big round of applause tonight. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor. Whoa. That was the word. I don't know about you, but I'm stirred up. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm ready to grab my axe handle. Start chopping back at the block. Start doing what God's called me to do. Pastor, I thank you for helping me get my focus right tonight. I like something you said. He said, if the message isn't on fire, throw the message in the fire. Man of God told me one time, he said, Cain, keep that fire because people will come from everywhere to watch you burn. Is anybody dedicated to just stay on fire? Burn for Jesus. Burn for the Lord, because that's what he's saying. He's saying we need to operate in our gifts. We need to help the church on the North Coast get where God designed it and destined it to be. And not only this church, but we need to get this world. We need to take this world back over for Jesus with the fire and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Because Paul said, my speech and preach was not enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of God. Paul was saying, I can show you better than I can tell you. We need a few Christians tonight that says, I'm in the workplace, show you better than I can tell you. I'm at home going to show you better than I can tell you. I'm in the grocery store going to show you, honey, better than I can tell you. Crystal, I don't care if I'm in classroom, I'm going to show you better than I can tell you. Hey, that is good. I thank you for that. Praise God. But what we're going to do, like I said, Pastor didn't leave us, obviously, with just nothing. That stirred my heart. That was powerful. So we want to give you an opportunity to support the man of God. Support that message. Sow into that message. If that message is for you, you ought to get something in your hand tonight and sow into this man's life. I don't care if it's $1,000 or if it's a dollar. Get something in your hand, because we're going to take an offering up for this man of God to continue to ignite his fire. I want to sow into your fire. Because I want to reap some of that Holy Ghost you got on you, brother. I tell you, I want to reap some of that. Does anybody want to reap some of that fire? I know it, because the ones that came tonight are hungry for God. Whether pastor's here or not, you came. God sees your heart. God sees your motivation. God sees your enthusiasm for the gospel. And I believe, and I just speak by the unction of the Holy Spirit. Some of you right now, tomorrow you're going to see a breakthrough. Tomorrow, somebody's going to see a breakthrough. I feel it in my spirit financially. Somebody's waiting on a phone call right now. Somebody's waiting on a phone call. You're expecting somebody to call and bring you news you've been waiting on. I don't know what it is. But some breakthroughs are going to happen. And come to church and testify about it. Testify about it. Ushers, prepare yourselves if you would. If you're writing a check, just make it to CNC. And we'll make sure every bit of it comes to him tonight. Amen. Praise God. We got to support the gospel when it's preached like that. And we know everybody here at Church on the North Coast, this is a giving church. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Forever and evermore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody prepared to give. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the man of God. Oh, Father, we thank you for touching us tonight with your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, right now that you're going to bless the faith attached to our seed as we sow. Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus that the best is yet to come and fire will resort because of our faithfulness. Father, we expect it. We don't stand by passively, but we expect it. in the name of Jesus. Somebody say in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for coming out. You're dismissed. If you would, keep in mind the Ugandan and what we're doing over in Haiti. The ushers are going to be by the doors. If you want to sow into that as well, we wanted to give you the opportunity to sow into Haiti and the trips that are coming up and what's going on now, if you would. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.